So Jesus has reached the point in his ministry when he was becoming a known figure. This sermon he gave on the mountainside, from which Aaron just read, it was his most high-profile appearance yet. There were huge crowds gathered around to hear him speak. He was speaking to the Jewish nation at a time when they had largely lost their relational connection with God, and their religion had become simply about doing the right deeds, following the right rituals, and also giving away lots of their money. And so as Jesus spoke to this work-centered, materialistic world of first century Israel, his message was this: set your eyes not on earth, but on heaven. And as Jesus speaks to the work-centered, materialistic world of the 21st century UK, his message is this: set your eyes not on earth, but on heaven. And so I've been given this section, which covers three things: giving to the needy, praying, and fasting. But really, it's only about one thing. Those three examples are, in a certain sense, just incidental. And they're actually three things that the original audience were exceedingly good at already. All of those things were drilled into their way of life, at least for a great deal of them. And so, not to sound like I'm telling anyone off, but it is assumed that if you're a believer, then you're already doing these things. It's when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. It's not if. The real issue here is not any of those things. It's actually the issue of the shiny cup. It's the cup that looks good on the outside, but on the inside is filthy. I realize you can't really see the cup, so yeah, I took a picture of it earlier. You get the point. Later on in the book of Matthew, Jesus says this. It's from chapter 23, verse 25. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside, they're full of greed and self-indulgence." You see, the issue was, people were going about praying, giving, and fasting merely to appear righteous. But living a heavenly life means saying, I don't care about how righteous I look. I care about how righteous I am. So what does giving to the needy look like if you're to live a heavenly life? Well, it means having in mind your heavenly Father. And Father is the only name Jesus calls God by in this passage. So put yourself in the shoes of Joe. Joe is a father. He's the father of a very young daughter called Bella. And one time, Joe had an issue with his car. It was a severe engine problem. And Joe just didn't have the money to fix it. It was causing him so much stress because he needed the car to take Bella to preschool. He needed it to get to work. He needed his car. Now, he didn't realize, but his little child Bella was picking up the situation. She could see that he was distressed. And then later, as he was sitting there with his head in his hands, little Bella came toddling up to him and reached out her hand. She was holding her 50p coin from inside her piggy bank. The sight just melted his heart. Is the 50p really going to help fix the car? No, but it's not about the money. The money is nothing. You see, it's not about the money at all. It's about the heart. God is your Father. He doesn't need your money, but he loves you. And his heart melts when he sees you acting truly out of kindness. And so, even if you feel you don't have any money to give, if you give out of the little that you do have, God will reward you. If you give to God, even when you have nothing, how much more will he give back to you in return? Giving money isn't about the money, it's about the heart. We must give to the poor and needy, because when we were poor and needy, our Father gave to us. While we were sinners, heading towards hell, God gave us his Son, so that by believing in him, we are lifted out of spiritual poverty and into heaven. We give because God gives. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. How sad. How pathetic it is that we would use our generosity as a means of showing off. And yet that's the world we live in. If you spend any time on YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, there's a trend which you will have come across. It involves going up to a person who's living homeless, and then you stick a camera in their face, and then you hand them a large amount of money, say £1,000, and you film their reaction, and it's very emotional. They break down into tears. You scroll down into the comments, and it's all full of, oh, how beautiful, this made me cry, or this restored my faith in humanity. Don't get me wrong, that's absolutely great for the person who received the money. I'm not saying it's an evil thing to do. And Jesus doesn't say that either. What does he say? He says, you have received your reward in full. You gave £1,000 to a homeless person for a YouTube video so that millions of people could see. Well, enjoy the comments from 10,000 strangers. Enjoy all the likes. There's your reward. And if that's all that you were wanting, well, congratulations, you've got it. And you know what? In this culture, that really is the only reward that counts. All that matters is that shiny outside, the way that others perceive you. This is Instagram versus reality. And nobody actually knows about reality, what goes on in secret, so it doesn't really matter. And that's the problem that we have today. But you know what? The appearance of righteousness is not just about how you appear to others. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So he's actually saying that you shouldn't be... He's warning us against performing our generosity to ourselves. Self-congratulations. Do you ever give your money or do some kind deed and then you say to yourself, oh, there, I've done my bit. Well done, me. Well, you know what? Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. There's almost a sense of thoughtlessness or recklessness, isn't there? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You know, as you're busy thinking, oh, I'm not sure if I really have the financial security to pledge a monthly, whoop, too late. Your right hand's already gone and done it. Don't even give yourself a chance to feel resentful about giving your money away or to feel inwardly proud. You don't even let your left hand know about the money you gave with your right hand. If you could see how much greater are the riches in heaven, you wouldn't even hesitate. You know, we're all being tricked by the most deceptive con artist there's ever been. A scam caller will identify a victim who they believe wouldn't know any better. He'll pose as their bank. He'll tell his unsuspecting victim that their bank account is under attack. And he'll say, let me take care of your money. I'll keep it safe. And then just like that, in a moment, your life savings are gone. All those years of work, and it's all gone. The feeling of betrayal, the anger, how could I be so stupid? Or the regret, if only I had spotted his lies. Well, there's a con artist who once tricked a husband and wife into trading life in paradise for an apple. And he's tricking us too. He's trying to get us to trade the treasure of heaven for the praise of people. And it will feel great when people think you're wonderful. But it's a scam. It's the worst trade-off you could imagine when you could be investing in heaven. Don't let your life savings be scammed off you. Do you want to know what is so much better than a pat on the back from your friends? It's hearing these words from Christ. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And you'll say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And that's why we give to the needy. It's not about the outwardly shiny, polished cup. It's about the heaven which awaits you. And now the next two areas of life that Jesus addresses are prayer and fasting. Next week, Kieran's going to be preaching specifically on the Lord's Prayer in verses 9 to 15, so that won't be my focus right now. So you might think that giving to the needy is more of a social justice issue, and then praying and fasting are very much religious issues. But at the time, giving was absolutely seen as a religious act, no less than the other two. In fact, your righteousness was often judged by how much money you gave. So really the idea is exactly the same. Fasting is about freeing yourself up for praying and focusing on God by refraining from food. In modern contexts, people might speak of fasting from social media, which sounds like a great idea to me. I reckon we should do that, but that's besides the point. Biblical fasting is about food. And you know what some religious leaders at Jesus' time used to do? They would dress up to look as solemn as possible, and they would paint their face to make it look more gaunt. They were trying to appear holy and righteous, going about looking like skeletons in public, making sure everybody knew exactly what they were doing. But that's not a fast, that's a farce. And they also perverted their praying. They showed off their elite education by the knowledge and the eloquence that they had when they prayed. And they would do it in public, so everyone would hear them. They put so much effort into their appearance of holiness. They convinced even themselves. But in doing so, they traded the eternal treasure of heaven for the praise of people. They fell for the scam. Now, I must say this. I didn't ask to preach this evening. I didn't actually expect I'd be preaching at all this year. I didn't think I was really qualified. But Andy said, nah, pal, it'll be fine. So here I am. Though I was somewhat scared when Andy put my name down to do this, I didn't volunteer myself. And yet, nonetheless, there's a little part of me hoping that you're going to be impressed by me. No preacher enjoys admitting that because it's so fundamentally against what preaching is all about. A sermon is about communicating God's words to all of you for the glory of God. It's absolutely and completely not a chance for some gifted speaker to show off. Am I supposed to lie? Nobody can fully get rid of that little voice of pride which says, I want people to think I'm a really good preacher. Or, I want other people to think I'm really holy and righteous. You can't get rid of it completely. And actually, if you're a Christian, well, you're a preacher too. Your words and your deeds should preach Jesus wherever you find yourself. And we're all guilty of everything I've just been talking about in so many ways. But we shouldn't come out of this feeling just condemned by Jesus' words. You know, just because, like me, we fail to always practice what we preach, that isn't actually what makes us hypocrites, the ones who Jesus is really speaking against. Here's the difference. A hypocrite will set standards for other people, and then they consider themselves exempt from those same standards. That's not what I said. What I said was, here is the standard which Jesus calls all of us to. And you know, sometimes I fail. Sometimes we all fail. That's not hypocrisy. That's just being honest. And it's only Jesus who has truly modeled the heavenly life. You know, he regularly went and prayed by himself. He went into the desert to fast. away from anyone who might see him. He never had any ill motive. And so, how do you live a heavenly life? Well, it's only through him. If you feel like you just can't get rid of that inner pride, that obsession over the way you come across, or that frustration that all your hard work seems to go unappreciated, well, you aren't out of hope. Do what Jesus tells you. Spend time every day in your room with the door shut. This is a matter between you and your Father. And if you ask him earnestly for help, because you know you are weak, it will melt his heart. It won't go forgotten in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, now I'm going to remind you of something which you might remember from two sermons ago. Back in chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said this: "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So then, how do we reconcile this with what we just read? Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. So, are we supposed to make our good deeds public or not? Well, the answer is, it depends what you're asking. Yes, you should do good deeds in the name of Christ for the whole world to see, like a lamp on a stand. But that's not why you do it. And the question that reveals your heart is not, what have you done? It's why. Many years ago, our family returned from a holiday to find that someone had flooded our back garden while we were away. They used our garden hose from our outside tap. They put the hose into our outside bin, which, for some strange reason. And by the way, the bin was full of old nappies and other rubbish. And they left the tap running for days. It turned the whole garden into a muddy bog, and it was disgusting. Our neighbour said she had seen two young boys come into our garden while we were gone. It must have been them. What do you make of the character of these two vandalising boys? Well, as my dad went furiously to go and find them, he found out that they actually weren't trying to flood the garden. They were trying to make a water feature for us. Instantly, his anger evaporated and his heart melted. Henry and Nathan were actually trying to make a nice surprise for us when we got back. Well, that really changes the way you see them, doesn't it? The question that reveals the heart is not what have you done, it's why. Now imagine if I stood here and I delivered the most moving spiritual prayer you have ever heard. And imagine the point of the prayer was this: God, please provide me with people to donate me money. Well, actually, the scary thing is, a lot of you trust me, and you might actually do it. By the way, don't. But is God going to reward me for exploiting you via a prayer? No. I've received my reward in full. I wasn't praying for God to hear. I was only praying for you to hear. And, you know, it might be as twisted as exploiting a church family like that. It certainly happens. But it might be subtler than that. Maybe it's just that thought of, oh, I have to make sure I pray properly and reverently so I don't embarrass myself in front of the prayer group. Or, oh, everyone else in the circle has prayed. I guess I ought to say something. Either way, you prayed, and that's good. But what God cares about is why. You didn't have God in your mind. You didn't have heaven in your mind. You had the people around you. See, when you pray not for people to hear, only for God to hear. And this mindset of heavenly living, it applies everywhere. Are you going to tell me there's no little part of you that's a bit frustrated? Nobody knows about all the times you went shopping for someone, or made a meal for someone, or gave someone a lift to church. Or you maybe invite the new family from church round for lunch, That is great. What a lovely thing to do. But are you telling me there's no little part of you that just loves to imagine your guests on the way home saying to each other, oh, wow, weren't they great, friendly hosts? Or, oh, wow, what a good cook they were. Or how about this? You gave up your time to serve at church. Maybe you played in the band. Or you led a prayer from the front. Or you welcome people at the door. All kinds of things like that. Are you really telling me that no little part of you wanted to make it about how people view you? Well, if you're going to live a heavenly life, those thoughts shouldn't even cross your mind. You show kindness to a housebound friend because that's the kindness which God showed you. You show hospitality to a new family because God freely welcomes you. You serve at church to help people praise God. It's not about you. You know, God loves to see you do good deeds. It melts his heart. But it's not about what you do. It's about why you do it. And the reason why is that we are living a heavenly life. The reward which God has waiting in heaven for those who will be generous, prayerful, and thankful, even when nobody's looking, is great. And it is eternal. If only we could better comprehend heaven. If only we could see how much more valuable are God's eternal heavenly rewards than the temporary judgment from temperamental people, then we would surely never do the same foolishness of making our righteous deeds about us. But we will fail. We will fall short. But you know what? The story is not over there. We have an advocate whose name is Jesus Christ, who never acted out of selfishness, who never made his righteousness about him, who lived the heavenly life perfectly. And we can share in his perfection when we call on his name. So let's close in prayer with all that in mind.